This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hello again, everybody. Adam Ritz with you. It's The Adam Ritz Show. We cover public affairs coast to coast. And we do it with Jay Baker. He's a good friend of mine, a broadcast buddy. We've known each other maybe 30 years now. And he is not only a broadcast professional, but he cares about planet Earth and he wants to give back to his community. Jay, how are you?
I'm a giver. You know that.
You are a giver.
Actually, what kind of got me interested in this whole thing is there is a theory about that a certain element of giving and gratitude can be for the greater good. And I'm kind of a fan of discovering what might be the greater good for all of us. So this has been fun.
Pay it forward and use your skill set and your resources to try to make things a little better. And that's what we're going to try to do today. We've covered scams in plenty of ways over the past couple of years. They've gotten worse with technology and with the AI now. We've introduced several websites you can use as a website, or I'm sorry, as a resource. A few weeks ago, we talked about scamspotter.org. Scamspotter.org. You can learn about what to look for, the red flags, and there's also listings of recent scams and recent organizations that maybe you shouldn't trust. I heard of a new one here, Jay, on the news this week that is getting a lot of people. It involves cybercrime and child pornography. And here's what the scammers are doing. They are contacting you, telling you that you have been detected and flagged with having inappropriate images of children on your hard drive, on your computer. And what they need to do is they need to log into your computer to make sure it's safe and clean, to wipe these images off. So they ask for your login numbers and your passwords. And, when you think about the urgency to take care of something, when someone tells you that you have a toll that you didn't pay, and you owe them $15, that's one thing. When they tell you there are some horrific images detected on your hard drive, you may be more inclined to just give away your passwords. That is an easy scam they're pulling off here recently. So be aware not to give your passwords to anyone that wants to take over your computer. Have you heard of this scam?
I have not heard of this specific scam, but, we've always said that these scams rely on you being called to act. And most people would obviously be horrified to hear something of this nature, would not want to be, involved or engaged in this in any manner, shape, or form. And like you said, the call to action is, yes, please help me immediately.
Yeah.
And I just hate to hear people being taken advantage of. This one is particularly nasty.
It is particularly evil. Everyone would say, yes, get rid of this disgusting content on my machine. In fact, thank you for contacting me. Thank you for helping. Here's my login. And then the next thing you know, they're in your computer and they've got everything once they're in your computer. So just be aware. Watch for the red flags. Read up on it. Research. A great resource again is scamspotter.org. And just be on the lookout every day for some evil organization out there, an AI chat bot that's trying to just catch you with your guard down and take advantage of you. It's happening on a daily basis to millions of people.
Wow. All right. We have talked a lot on this show about rock and roll bands that give back. And it's kind of cool because, rock and roll is that, hey, it's a guy up there, snarling guy with a guitar, and he doesn't care about anything. But it turns out that today's rock star is a little bit different. Let's turn a little bit of a spotlight towards the band Metallica. Now, Whit, goodness gracious, sorry, that was just sporadic pull out of the blue. I have a very good friend by the name of Whit, but let's reel back in the tape and say, Adam,
I'm not offended because I know Whit, and if you're confusing me with Whit, I love it because he's a great guy.
We did a big Christmas show for a charity not too long ago, so it stuck in my mind. But at any rate, let us talk a little bit about Metallica. We've always talked about Metallica. They were sort of the bad boys of rock. And as it turned out, they had such staying power. Somebody kind of spoke to them and said, hey, you need to be an entity that gives back to your fan base. Well, Metallica was recently featured on CBS Sunday Morning, which is like one of the feel-good news shows out there.
My mom never misses it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like Prairie Home Companion. Mm-hmm. You know, people love the show, and it is a very positive news show in the sea of negativity. But mm-hmm. The band Metallica was on to talk about the creation of the All Within My Hands Foundation, and also the Metallica Scholars Program, which gives scholarships for students to attend trade school. So Metallica is another band that's gotten engaged with, hey, give kids what they need and want. And the trade school movement has become pretty big of late. Now, the segment on the show had James Hetfield meeting one of the scholarship recipients for the first time. It's pretty heartwarming. You can watch it now on YouTube. But I thought that was great. We have talked in the past about the tremendous giving from the All Within My Hands Foundation from the band Metallica.
Not to put you on the spot, I did not see that package. Did you watch that?
I did not, okay. But I am definitely looking up. This just sort of popped up on my research, because part of the research I do for the show is finding out, did a rock star do something positive? Let's give them a little love, because usually it's, well, those boys totally wrecked the high school gym after the concert. You know, that's what we usually hear.
No, I'm with you. With rock stars and professional athletes, if you hear their name in the news, it's usually not for a good reason. So that's great that you're talking about this, and that CBS Sunday Morning did a story on this. I'm going to watch it because I want to see if the recipient of the Metallica scholarship, because you said it's called the Scholars Program. So
Metallica Scholars Program.
So if the recipient received a check that said Metallica Scholars Program, if they were a Metallica fan, if they even knew who James Hetfield was, I mean, that's interesting to me. If it were you or I, and James Hetfield walked in the room, our jaws would drop, and it'd be kind of a cool situation. What kind of video is it? Is it a bad video all of a sudden if James Hetfield walks in the room and the recipient is like, yeah, Jimmy, who are you?
Yeah.
Because they like 90s boy bands. They weren't really into Metallica.
Yeah. I think for the sake of the feel good, I'm going to guess. I'm going to put a little even money that the kid knew who James was.
And then do you say, you're our winner, you win the scholarship, if you can answer this final question? Name two Metallica songs.
See, there
if you can't, you don't get the scholarship.
You don't get the scholarship. Well, you know, they keep moving the bar on us, but this is going to be largely positive for health moving forward. But a new study suggests that the way obesity is defined could dramatically change who is considered at risk. Updated criteria classifying nearly 70% of U.S. adults as obese instead of our usual 43%. Researchers added waist size and body fat distribution to BMI, finding that there can be hidden visceral fat can signal higher chances of heart disease and diabetes in people who appear healthy. So basically, it's the same thing that we've always heard No matter where they do the classification, you want to try to stay at close to your ideal body weight, because all roads lead to it's just healthier.
It is. It is. It's a healthy thing to watch your weight. And it also, you feel better, at least personally. When I'm overweight, I just don't feel right. So
no,
it's a good thing to just keep on the forefront of your mind, caloric intake and caloric expense. Some people say it's just as simple as burn more calories than you eat. And I don't know if that's possible, because I'm probably a 3,000 calorie a day guy. I am certainly not on the treadmill burning 3,000 calories. That's a long, long walk.
Yes, it is. And there are certain holidays, because of your sweet tooth, that you have to be especially careful of. Halloween, in my opinion, perhaps the most damaging holiday to your health.
You know, Jay, now that I think about it, I applaud you for not laughing in my face when I said I'm a 3,000 calorie a day guy, because there are times where I'm a 3,000 calorie a half hour guy. And one of those days is coming up on Monday night. Not only is it the national championship, it is my birthday. That is my birthday.
That's your birthday.
And I ate a lot during the national championship game. So certainly more than 3,000 calories occasionally here and there. But I'd say over the course of a year, on average, I'm at 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day. And yeah, I'm not going to be at the gym burning that many calories a day. But it is, it's great to get out every day, burn a few calories, go walk a few miles, get to the gym, go a little harder on the treadmill, do some weights. I mean, it just makes you feel better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I always blame the ready availability of snack items.
When they're right in front of you?
I blame other people, yeah. It's not my fault.
You're right. I could easily say I'm not going to eat a donut for 2 months. But if I get to work and there's a box of donuts in the break room, I'm having four.
Well, and then, in the radio world, there's always going to be, today is donut day. And some wiseacre brings in several boxes of very good donuts.
Yep.
And frankly, I've never seen a bad donut. Even one that's dropped onto the ground still has some appeal.
Still good.
Still good. Girl Scout cookie time again. So speaking of ready availability of snacks, let's go from possible obesity worries to Girl Scout cookies. Yes, it's that time of year again.
What a great segue from our obesity report to overeating Girl Scout cookies.
Has anybody hit you up recently? And the reason why I ask that is there are certain type A personalities who have a daughter that participates in her local scouting program, and they get pretty heavy duty as the local sales associate for their daughter's cookies. They want to make sure your name is on that list.
Now, that does happen at the office. It hasn't happened in a few years. I don't know if we've just aged out here in the office of everybody's kids and how old they are. I'm going to have to go make some new friends that are younger, that have younger daughters that are involved with Girl Scouts, so I can get some of these great cookies.
I always love it when you go to the grocery store and they've got the little earnest girls sitting up there at the table with the mom that gives you the scowl.
Oh, yeah.
The sweet girls are saying, sir, would you like some cookies? Now, I am one of those guys. This is going to sound bad. I cannot have cookies at my house. It doesn't work. They speak to me. The minute they go up in that cupboard, like you said, hey, change of quarters on the national game. It's time for cookies. But yeah, I love the scowl you get from the mom. The mom is pretty much sizing you up as a joy destroyer.
Yeah, and they have the comeback. Here's my line that I thought would get me out of it, because it's true. I gave up sweets for Lent. So this is, Girl Scout cookie season coincides with the Lenten season. And if you're not familiar with Lent, all you need to know to get out of buying Girl Scout cookies is saying that you gave up sweets for Lent. When I say that, the mom with the scowl says, you can freeze them.
The mom with the scowl says, I doubt if you're very earnest about your Lent,
yeah,
little mister.
I'm not lying about my Lent. And now that you've accused me of not wanting to freeze your daughter's cookies, now I have to explain to you that I'm a member at Costco, so I have no room in my freezer.
Well, now with what you've said, I know that our local parish has a great fish fry during Lent, and I can just picture myself lying to some Girl Scout about observing Lent with cookies, and then the priest is going to come and go, I heard you were lying there, Mr. Baker. It's like, oh, why, look at the time. Yeah, so, but at any rate, apparently the Girl Scouts are changing the lineup a little bit on the cookies.
Oh.
Two cookies are being officially retired, and a new cookie is being introduced.
What's being retired? I guarantee you, you're going to say one of my favorites.
Well, here it is. Toast Yay is being retired.
Okay, good.
I am not familiar with that one.
I don't even know what that is, so that's fantastic. What,
the s'mores cookies are going bye-bye.
S'mores, okay. Now, while I love s'mores, I don't even know about a s'mores cookie from the Girl Scouts of America.
Yeah, those ones are going away, and to make up for it, there's now the Explorer Mores cookie. What a great title. The Explorer Mores. So I'm not even really sure I could say it properly. It's been inspired by Rocky Road ice cream. So if you like the flavor profile of Rocky Road, you're going to love the Explorer more.
Okay, so now I'm going to be the one with the scowl when I go to buy these in front of the store and they don't have Explorer more cookies.
Can you imagine? Listen, scowling mom. I'd buy a million of those cookies if you had the Explorer Mores.
I'm just trying to help.
What do you mean you don't have them? I'm just trying to help.
I'm just trying to help you. Give me 10 boxes.
Oh, I love this latest statistic because, you know, it's always quotable when people have little arguments about which is more popular, where are people moving. We oftentimes hear about people moving around. You know, I think the first time guys in Adam and I's age range, you started hearing about, well, a lot of people move down to Florida for the weather. But we've also heard now that more people move to Texas than any other state, and data supports that.
Yeah.
And you'll love who gets the data on this, the U-Haul company.
Yeah. Yeah, they would know. People rent U-Hauls one way to move. And if they can tell that more trucks are going to Texas and not being returned, that's some easy math.
Yep. They say that they release each year the data on the number of one-way movers in each state. The Lone Star State, number one, followed by Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee, and South Carolina. And, you know, this bears out what I read about a year ago, because I always say to myself, I say this to people and I don't have real verification, but more people are moving to Tennessee and the Carolinas because of their climate.
Yes.
You know, people oftentimes say, oh, I just hate northern winters. I'm going to Arizona. Have you been to Arizona, Adam?
I have been to Arizona in July, and it is unbearable.
I'm glad you said that. I have just, if somebody says something to me, I just go, Arizona, had to be there once in August. I said, never again. I'm sure it's a wonderful state, but I felt as if you literally feel as if you've walked into an oven just opening your car door.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that sounds so wimpy, but man.
I was at a conference in downtown Phoenix, and we walked from our hotel, which obviously had air conditioning. We had to walk outside onto the sidewalk and down two blocks to a theater for this event that was going on with the group I was with. And that two-block walk outdoors in the sun in July in Phoenix. It was like I just got out of a swimming pool when we got to that location because of the sweat. I was just completely drenched. I don't think I've ever been hotter.
Yeah, and we have had, in my particular family, some relatives that, when I say famously, they were sort of the first to move to Florida, early adapters. But for them, Florida has been tough. I think just in general, depending on your age and sort of where you're at, I think it just depends on your activity profile, if the climate matches what you like to do. My relatives are big on golfing, and they just found that it was more and more difficult with the popularity of golfing in Florida to match up their tee times with the weather. It was either wet and rainy in the spring or way too hot in the summer.
Yeah.
And they are now golfing in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should, but I'm saying they did.
I know several people that lived in Florida that retired to Florida that have since re-retired to Tennessee just because of the more mild summers, even though it still gets hot in Tennessee in the summer. And it's not quite as cold in Tennessee in the middle of winter, January, February. I mean, you're in Illinois, Michigan, Ohio in July. I'm sorry, in January or February, you're freezing. It's 10 degrees or less wind chill. But if you're in Tennessee, I mean, you could go golfing. I mean, it could be 49 degrees and sunny with no wind and feel great. On a bad day. So you could have a good 60-degree day in February, maybe. So, mild winters in Tennessee. Although, as much as I seem to be complaining about how hot I was in Phoenix that one summer, I would rather be sweating in Phoenix in July than be in 10-degree wind chill in January. I cannot stand the cold.
Yeah, I'm with you. And once again, that's probably part of all this as well, as you just get to the point where you can't stand the cold and you don't want to be Mr. Hyper Trendy and you move to Arizona, you might say, hey, Tennessee, I get a much milder winter experience in Tennessee. In fact, I had some close relatives that lived in beautiful Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, winter time, we'd visit them midwinter, and oftentimes it'd be about 40 degrees outside. It was a pretty peaceful winter experience.
Yeah, that if as bad as it got was 40, oh man, that'd be great.
It would be great.
That would be great.
Now, the top five states that people are moving out of, quite frankly, the usual suspects. California is the number one mover outer state. And part of that is the fact that it has become almost annoyingly expensive to live there. And so people are leaving.
It's that $9 a gallon gas.
Oh, it is expensive there. And I'm sure you guys have stories of your relatives possibly moving out of California. They're also moving out of Illinois, New Jersey, New York, and Massachusetts. So those are more northerly climates and more expensive to live and work in. I think that's certainly going to be a big factor moving forward, Adam, is how expensive is it to live in your state?
I just saw a video of a late 20s something doing a tour of her apartment in New York City and how much she pays for rent. And I think she mentioned she makes $120,000 a year and her rent is like $4,500 a month. And she even admitted, I could move to a much affordable area of the country, make far less money and have, you know, even more, far less rent and come out in better financially. But she admitted she loved the hustle and bustle and all the resources and events and opportunities that New York City offered. But again, she's 28, 29 years old. We'll see how she feels when she's 38 and settles more down and looks at that rent and thinks, what am I doing?
It's funny you said that. Yeah, we've had the good fortune, you know, being in radio, we'll be called upon to help out with some promotional causes. And our station did a great promotion with a company that used to do movie premieres in New York City. And they asked us to help promote those and drug us along to a number of them. And I remember famously being a young radio guy in Manhattan and seeing the hustle and bustle. And I thought, man, this is great. Well, the woman that was the coordinator for the event said, funny you would say that. She goes, you're not the only one that's made that remark. She goes, unerringly, if you're 20, you want to live in Manhattan. If you're 40 or older, you want to live as far away from Manhattan as you can be and still get to work.
Yeah, Melissa and I have talked about this. I don't think there's enough money you could pay me to live in Manhattan. Or even Chicago, for that matter. It's just too many people. It's too messy. It's a junkyard. There's just debris and litter everywhere. It's $50 to park somewhere. Yeah. I'm just, you know, give me a little bit more wide open space and an affordable mortgage, and I'll be happy.
I know we're going to get in trouble because we're giving allegorical stories, but I've lived in the Midwest most of my life and have been to Chicago several times. A very close friend of mine had to live in Chicago for about 10 years for his work. And he said that everybody he knows accepts the fact that there will be scratches on your car no matter what, no matter how you park, no matter where you park, no matter where you go. He said, it's just a state where people tap into each other. And he said, it's sort of just, you know, sort of the local culture and lore that unless the fender is hanging off, you just drive on. Nobody does it maliciously, but it happens.
So what you're saying, Jay, is if you buy a brand new car there, you should just, before you get in it, just take your keys out and just key yourself.
just key the vehicle, get it over with.
Get it over with. Exactly.
That's pretty funny. Elton John will once again host his annual AIDS Foundation Academy Awards viewing party. That has become a very famous event. He is also famously assisted with a little help from actor Neil Patrick Harris. It will be held on March 15th at West Hollywood Park in West Hollywood, California.
Boy, that'd be a great party to go to. I'm assuming tickets could be sold and you can go and the money will, you know, go to the benefit.
Yeah, and I think that they kind of stick with A-listers. I don't think that you and I will be getting a call to participate, but they should because we love to hang around and help raise money.
I'm going to find a ticket, damn it, and I'm going to buy it. I'm going to hang out with Neil Patrick Harris and Elton John and watch the Oscars and raise some money.
They'll go, but Elton, it's Adam Ritz.
You know, from the Adam Ritz Show.
I'm in a tunnel. You're breaking up. you know, as we head into the rest of winter, we do urge everybody to remain safe out there. We appreciate the fact that you've been listening to the Adam Ritz Show. You know, Adam, I think that we are changing lives. I can feel that change occurring, can't you?
That we're changing what? Oh, yeah, we are changing lives.
Not changing the channel. We do not want that.
We are changing lives.
We're
opening eyes and opening hearts through the radio, one listener at a time. If you've been listening to us, we really appreciate it. Jay, you've been so much fun to work with. I've been doing this public affairs show for 16 years now, believe it or not. We started this in 2010. Oh my gosh, that's the first time I've actually thought about that out loud. 16 years. And Jay, you've been with us for, my gosh, at least five, at least maybe six or seven.
Yeah, been here for a while.
So we move on, and we thank you for listening. If you want to get involved with us on social media, I can say my X account is at Adam Ritz. My IG account is at Adam Ritz Show.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.